You're listening to episode 49 of the Mad Chatters podcast, September 2nd, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined, as always, by my friends, fellow Mad Chatters, fellow hosts, Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
Something squash bananas. I forgot to look up the exact quote.
I can help you out.
I think that's actually the Lord's Prayer in Swahili.
Yeah. Asante sana. Today's show is all about photography at the Disney parks. A little bit later, we're going to talk to photographer. I don't even know what I was going to say, but he's a photographer and he specializes in pictures at the parks. And his name is Mark Willard. You might have seen some of his awesome photos on Instagram or Twitter or any of the other social media platforms. But he's going to come on a little bit later and talk to us about what he does and maybe even give a few tips for those who want to know how to take good pictures at the parks. So definitely stay tuned for that. But to kick off this episode, we're going to do a very special photography-themed round of My Disney Experience.
Isn't it fantastic?
I'll tell you what, buddy, it don't get much better than this.
It's like a dream, a wonderful dream come true.
So for this, instead of each of us just having one story, I just kind of want to talk with both of you about some of our favorite photography-related stories in our many years of going to the parks together. So Jeremy, what's a story that comes to mind for you?
Well, the first one that comes to mind was a trip when we were at Animal Kingdom, and it involves one of the little photo pass workers there, except I shouldn't say little because this guy wasn't.
Yes, I'm with you now, yes.
He took our photo, and then they scan your little card. This is in the day and age before Magic Bands, BCMB, or BMB, I don't know how you would say that, but anyways. And so he scanned the card and went to hand it to you, Derek? Was that who it was?
Yes.
And then he seriously did this whole, like, as soon as you go to grab it, he moves it, you know, like you do to like a three-year-old. And I remember Derek is not a play games with me kind of a person. And so Derek puts on this like annoyed grin and was like, uh-huh, you got me. And so Derek goes to grab it again and he does it again.
Oh, no.
And he does it again. And again.
I mean, you're not kidding.
Like, I kid you not. We must have stood there for like at least 5 minutes, which doesn't sound like a long time, except Derek is like steaming at the end.
Oh, come on. Give me a little credit. But I was like, listen, we didn't come to the park to like play little back and forth games with PhotoPass cast members.
I say steaming not in the sense that you were like really mad, but you were just annoyed, like, okay, I've had enough of this, you know? And yet he did not pick up the hint at all. And so, anywho, good times. But I guess then I start thinking about it. Those poor PhotoPass people, like, what more do they have in their life, really, besides play little games?
He's like, stay here longer because no one else is going to get a picture right here all day.
Yeah, he's like, I tried out for entertainment, I promise. Look, I'm good.
I forgot about that.
Anywho.
One that came to mind for me was when we do this a lot, but every once in a while you'll pass a cast member character and no one's getting a picture with this character. And
I just remembered this, yeah.
This might be a different story from what you're thinking, but we were at Hollywood Studios and we were passing by One Man's Dream, and this was when Prince Caspian was in the theaters.
Oh, gosh.
And so Prince Caspian was standing outside the little Chronicles of Narnia walkthrough. No one was getting their picture with him. And, I mean, I didn't want my picture with him because it's like a face character. You know, he's like my age. It was really awesome. But I'm pretty sure it was Jeremy who was like, let's do it. And so I was like, okay. And honestly, it's one of my favorite pictures. I remember he said something. You said, can I carry your sword or hold your sword in the picture or something?
And he was like, absolutely not.
He said something.
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
The department store where she at, the lady with the triangle laundry. She's like, can I take something out for you? It's that face that, no, that's
Yeah, exactly. But it is kind of one of my favorite pictures because you're smiling and I'm doing like this, like I'm a prince with my shoulders back, you know. It is the most awkward photo. Well, not the most, we've talked about the most awkward photo before. But it's one of them.
I thought you were going to talk about that time we were at Hollywood Studios there in the streets of New York, and Kim Possible and Ron Stoppable were standing there for photo ops, and like literally no one is there. And we stop right in front of them. And I think it was like one of us said, do we want a picture with them? No, okay. And I felt so bad for those people because they were like, finally,
oh. Oh, no, there is probably the opposite. They're probably like, no, yes.
No pictures, please.
What about you, Matt?
I'm going to go a little more sentimental than you guys probably were thinking. And that's a picture that I, when I see, it's just kind of, it captures the essence of us, you know, us together. And that's our little Three Amigos sombrero picture at that special at the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot. That's one of my favorites.
I have it on my wall right over here, actually.
I was going to go with the awkward one that we talk about often, the dreaded blue and white day at the luau.
Yeah, we did leave out a few parts of that story, I feel like. Like how we had seriously been walking at least 30 minutes. It was so long. And we were running late. So, like, I personally, who hate to be late, was really just kind of flustered and, like, I just wanted to get to this place. It was so hot. Then they put those Lays around us. And we didn't even know they were going to take our pictures. So, at that point, I was like, listen, I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy this. Can we just go sit down?
I was just going through this phase where I didn't want to wear T-shirts. I felt like I looked like a slob, and I mean, I do, but I felt like I'm okay with it now.
Except for Mad Chatter's t-shirts.
Those are classy.
I felt like it was underdressed for me, you know. I was just out of college, and I was a little snooty about myself, so I was like, I'm not going to wear no t-shirts, so whatever.
We'll post that Three Amigos picture. Maybe on the Facebook and Twitter this week.
Yeah, I like that
people see. Maybe a TBT.
Do you guys remember when we rode Rock and Roller Coaster and we decided to pose with like our rock hands, you know?
Yeah.
And there was that woman, because you have to have four in the picture.
Yeah.
And then when we were done, the woman was like, I did it. And sure enough, she's there posing in that picture with us.
Yeah, I got it framed here as well. So we still keep in touch, me and Bonnie. She's sweet.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Bonnie?
That's what her name was.
In Jeremy's head.
Do you remember my other story for photography? And I can't remember, Matt, if you were there or if it was David, if it's the trip with David. But we were at the Mickey's Not So Scary party, and we were meeting Donald and Daisy by the carousel, and there were some girls in front of us, and we...
I think I was with you for this.
Okay. We tend to... rip on people of a certain ethnicity on this show time to time. And we don't mean anything by it. I am not that kind of a person at all. But these girls happened to be Asian. I'm pretty sure they were Chinese or Japanese, meaning that they weren't from America.
Oh, my goodness. Let's just dig ourselves a deeper hole, please.
Sorry. No, simply I say that because they did not speak English. So they weren't of Asian descent.
Yes, that's the only – that was the only tell.
Anyways, they each had cameras, and they each took a picture individually with Donald and Daisy. And then they took several pictures, both of them together with Donald and Daisy. And then they wanted to take pictures of Donald and Daisy by themselves.
That's right.
And finally, the photog handler was like – I'm sorry, you've had enough. Go.
Go get some candy. Get out of here.
You leave now.
Stop. So, anywho, I just always, because I always remember standing there being like, oh, it's our turn. Nope, they want another one. Oh, it's our turn. Nope, not yet. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, how many pictures of Donald and Daisy did these girls need? Because they seriously snapped like 50 pictures.
I do remember
that. I'm so glad that you all remember these things, because these are things that I do not remember.
One of my favorite moments is when that one time I was with one of the characters and they thought it'd be a cool pose for me to cross my arms and stand back to back. Oh, wait, that's every single character who meets a single guy at the parks. Yeah. I don't know what's with the crossing arms thing, but
you gotta look cool.
I guess it's like, hey, I'm a cool guy. I go to Disney World. I'm going to cross my arms. It's like, I don't do this in everyday life, though.
Either that or you're doing an ad for a sitcom on TBS.
Coming this fall, he's a space ranger, and he's a Disney podcast host. It's Buzz and Derek.
What? What does it look like? You're going to have to describe this for me.
You know, like the back-to-back with, like, the arms crossed.
Like an odd couple kind of like a thing.
I'm with you. Yeah, at the last minute, you look at the camera and kind of smile.
Yeah, I'm picturing that.
You make a face like, this guy.
He's the straight man, and he's the jokester. Yeah, right here on CBS.
You think you could do these things, but you just can't, Nemo.
I can't take it anymore.
All right, that's it. Dishonor on your whole family.
Blast this pen. Blast this wretched, wretched pen.
No thanks to you, I am the laughingstock of the entire kingdom.
I know it's a rock. Don't you think I know a rock when I see a rock? I've spent a lot of time around rocks.
You are a toy!
I know it is so important for you to get your picture of your family at the busiest time at the Magic Kingdom, but please stop blocking the entire walkway.
Although it is certainly annoying when people stop dead in their tracks to take a picture along Main Street or any other busy section of the theme parks, it's even more annoying when they block up the entire crosswalk of traffic because their family's on one side of the sidewalk and they think they have to get on the complete other side, blocking the entire walkway for everybody else.
I would probably buy more on-ride photos if A, they weren't $20, and B, if 3/4 of the picture were those really cheapo, cheesy-looking graphics to where you have to, like, squint your eyes just to see yourself in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I do mind taking a picture of your family. So when you ask me if I will, don't be surprised when I look at you and go,
you're a terrible person.
Which is my language for... I don't speak English.
I get that holding the camera above your head gets you a better shot of the stage, but to the people behind you, you might as well be holding up a sign that says, good luck trying to see this show. I imagine Periscope has only made this problem worse.
Since we've said it before, but it bears repeating, no iPads during fireworks, no flash photography during rides, and just leave the photography to the professionals.
I bet pictures of the parks used to be a lot more incredible when 3/4 of the picture wasn't taken up with strollers on the ground.
Hashtag truth.
So like I said, Jeremy and I talked to photographer Mark Willard about kind of what he does at the parks, and we even got a few exclusive tips for you guys and for us too. So we will play that for you now. Look for a special appearance by Matt near the end of the episode.
Sometimes people have families.
Yeah. It happens.
Now, I've been following you for some time online just because, you know, you take really, really incredible pictures of the Disney parks. But what I want to know is just kind of how you got started with photography in general, and then maybe like transition into how that led to primarily Disney photography.
Okay. Well, first, thanks for the kind words. I'm glad to hear you enjoy my photos, and yeah. Thanks for having me on the show too. It's fun to be here talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
But yeah, it's kind of funny. I grew up not really having any interest in photography at all. It's weird for me to think about that because it's such a huge part of my life now. But it wasn't until 2011, fairly recently, that I started getting into photography. Before that, I never owned a camera. But in 2011, I went on a mission trip to Haiti shortly after the earthquake there. And I knew that would be a momentous occasion that I'd probably want to document, you know, what I was going to see there. And I got my first camera. It was just a Sony point and shoot, and ended up taking some photos while I was on the mission trip to Haiti. And that ended up being a pretty big life-changing occasion in more ways than one. One of those ways was that was my introduction to photography. And when I got back home, decided that I wanted to keep taking photos, still using my Sony point and shoot. And I got some encouragement from a lot of people that I knew that, you know, hey, you are decent at this, you should pursue it. And eventually got a DSLR, after a few years, decided to start sharing my photos publicly. I believe that was in 2013 is when I kind of went public, mostly with my Disney photos, and things kind of took off from there. But that was how it all started.
Yeah, well, knowing that you are so new to the whole photography thing makes me think that there's hope for anybody out there. It is not too late.
I guess that's true.
That's awesome. So what do you do? Like, what's a typical day for you? Is photography your full-time job?
Photography is not my full-time job.
Okay.
It's something I do on the side. So a typical day for me may not involve photography at all.
Okay.
I generally try to squeeze in at least a little bit of photo editing time most days. That's one of the most time-consuming things, is the editing. Taking the photos is oftentimes, it depends on the photo. There can be quite a bit of variation, but oftentimes taking the photo is the quicker, easier part, and the editing can take quite a bit longer.
So how often are you able to get to the parks?
Well, as of May of this year, I moved to Florida. Prior to that, I was in the Philadelphia area, so my trips to the parks were not as frequent as they can be now. So it's pretty easy for me. I live, you know, just outside of Walt Disney World, so I can stop in for the evening, or I can make a day of it if it's on the weekend. But anywhere from, you know, one to two or three times a week to sometimes, you know, it's less frequent than that, maybe a few times a month, but at least a few times a month.
And talk a bit about your process when you're in the park. Like, what kind of equipment do you have to bring through the gates with you? I know selfie sticks, you're not bringing those anymore. Do you have a tripod that you carry? Do you like wait in one spot for a long time just to get the right shot?
Yeah, so selfie sticks are no more allowed in the
That's
parks.
Right. Sorry, man. I know that was your main tool.
yeah, exactly. Selfie sticks and iPads. That's really what it's all about. but no, I wasn't using a selfie stick anyway. But yeah, so as far as equipment that I am bringing with me, I have a lot of equipment. Some would say too much. I actually just weighed my camera bag, and it's around 30 pounds when it's fully loaded.
Oh,
so I have two different DSLRs, and I think seven different lenses that I use, and then some other extraneous equipment. But as far as you know, my process when I'm in the parks, it really depends on what I'm there for. Now that I'm a local, I tend to be on shorter, more focused trips in the parks. It's rare that I will, you know, spend an entire day at Magic Kingdom, for instance. Mm-hmm. But if I'm there for fireworks or if I'm there for sunset, then I'm going to be using a tripod. I'm probably going to be waiting in a particular spot that I have in mind for some time. You know, if I'm shooting a parade, I'll likely be waiting to get the spot that I want, but I won't be using a tripod for that, for any kind of action photography, really. If I'm going on the attractions, again, I wouldn't need a tripod for that. So it really all varies depending on the kind of photography that I'm doing.
Do you, I guess you have to push through all the maybe awkward looks you get from people? Or maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe people are doing weirder things at Disney World.
That is true. Yeah, I generally try to avoid things that will get me awkward looks. that's part of the reason why I generally tend to stay away from character meet and greets, particularly if I'm there by myself. The characters, the character attendants, parents in line don't necessarily want to see a 20-something guy with 30 pounds of camera gear by himself waiting to meet Princess Ariel. That might look kind of weird, and they may wonder why I'm there. So, yeah, but as far as, you know, landscape photos or parades, people generally, you know, occasionally I'll get comments like, you know, that's a lot of camera gear, or that's a really nice camera or whatever. But for the most part, I just kind of blend in with everyone else who's there.
Good deal. Now, you said, it's funny you mentioned character meet and greets, because I know a lot of your photos, you almost seem to specialize in the up close shots of characters. Like, is that one of your favorites, or do you feel like that's what you're best at? What do you enjoy about it so much?
That is something that I've been doing a lot more recently. There's a number of reasons for that. There aren't a ton of, so there are a lot of people who do Disney photography in one way or another on the various social networks, whether that's Twitter, Instagram, Flickr, whatever. There aren't necessarily a ton of people who do characters and landscape photos, and so I kind of live in both of those worlds. I enjoy people photography. I enjoy landscape photography, and so I try to do both when I can. It's generally a lot less time consuming to get an equivalent number of character photos, whether that's generally, in my case, parade and performance photos. I don't do a ton of meet and greets, as I mentioned. For instance, I can go watch Festival of Fantasy and get a bunch of usable photos from one showing of Festival of Fantasy, whereas for landscape photos, those photos generally take a lot more time to set up, a lot more thought goes into those photos and the composition and all that, which is not to say that you know, there's less effort or what skill required for the character. Certainly don't think that's the case, and I think there necessarily should be a lot of thought put into the character photos as well. Mm-hmm. But I can produce more of those photos in an equivalent amount of time versus the landscape photos, and so that's part of the reason why I've been posting more of those lately. Also, like I said, I enjoy both, but sometimes with landscape photos, it can feel like you're taking the same photo over and over again. And I try not to do that. I try to always have a unique angle on whatever I'm doing. I try to not be repeating myself or repeating what someone else did. But with the photos of people, whether that's characters or anything else, even outside of a Disney context, that's going to be different almost every time. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's the same parade or performance that I'm watching, different things are going to happen. The characters will be acting differently. And so that makes it a little more interesting, gives it a little more repeatability for me.
I totally agree. And you're right about most of the photographers not doing the character stuff. And so it's kind of a breath of fresh air when you see it. And I think one thing the character photos have shown me personally is that these characters are more than just like, you know, cast members who put on a costume in the morning. Like, you really see all of their personalities shine through in all the pictures that you get. And it kind of reminds you how much effort they put into each parade or performance or whatever they're doing. So I think that's really neat.
What has been your favorite picture that you've taken in the parks?
Oh, geez. I get asked that question a lot, and I'm never quite sure how to answer it, because I like a lot of different photos I've taken for different reasons. If you go to my website, I'll throw in a little plug here, markwillardphotography.com. I've got a recent highlights section which highlights what I think is some of my best work, and I don't know, it's so tough for me to pick one photo or even a group of photos and say this is absolutely my favorite or this is absolutely my best. I did recently post a photo of a sunset in Future World in Epcot during Flower and Garden with the monorail gliding across the monorail beam and the Imagination Pyramids in the background. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one of my favorites. I don't know if I could say it's my favorite ever, but definitely one of my favorites.
I'm looking at it right now. It's gorgeous. It's just amazing.
Well, thank
I can
you.
Tell you. I can tell you my favorite. So, okay. I mean, that I can remember off the top of my head. I think you called it Dawn of a New Decade at Disneyland or something like that. But it's the sunset to the right, and then on your left you've got Sleeping Beauty Castle. And I assume it's a few years old because it still has all the gold embellishments on it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. That's from October 2014, actually. And that's
just last year.
Yes, that's actually the sunrise. Which is part of why I called it Dawn.
That's why you called it Dawn. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it's I was very, very pleasantly surprised to get that shot. I didn't think that I would be able to get a clean shot like that of the sun coming up. That was, I think that was a magic morning, like an early entry.
Okay, I was going to say there's no one in the picture, which is unusual in itself.
Yes, and that is partly because there weren't that many people when I took the photo, and that is partly due to the magic of Photoshop.
Of course.
I am actually planning on, I don't know if you saw the Disney edit challenge that was on Instagram, I'm planning to do another Disney edit challenge about that photo and talk about how I took the photo and what I did in the editing room after I took it. But that's another one that I would say is one of my favorites, and I'm very happy with how it turned out.
I think it's, what's the editing challenge? Who's doing that?
Disney edit challenge was, it's kind of died off now, actually, but it was started by two photographers who I'm friends with at Walt Disney World, who are both excellent photographers that generally tend to focus on character photography, and that's Ado Cintron and Tiffany Bagwell on Instagram. They're known as Wicked26. That's Wicked with two I's, WIICKED26, and at WDW Performance. They started the Disney Edit Challenge, and it was just an opportunity for different Disney photographers on Instagram to kind of show what went into editing the photos and the difference between different photos from when they were taken right out of the camera to what they looked like after going through the editing process.
Okay. Okay. I bet that's encouraging for some amateur photographers, because I think a lot of people are under the impression that it looks as magnificent as it does in its final stage as it does when you took it, and that's just not the case. Like, there's a lot of editing that goes into it, like you've already said. So
yes, that's absolutely true. The goal is always to get it right in camera, but even if and when you're getting it right in camera, that doesn't mean that you're not polishing and improving it in the editing room. Mm. No matter how perfect the original shot is, there's always ways that it can be, it can and should be enhanced in the editing room. Mm. And so that's what I'm always aiming for, is get the shot right in camera and then make it better in Lightroom and in Photoshop. You don't want to use editing as a crutch or to fix things that you screwed up in camera.
Sure,
but
sure.
But no matter how good you're getting it in camera, there's still ways that you can and should improve it in the editing room.
Hmm.
Do you have any advice for like Joe Schmo from Wisconsin who's coming to Walt Disney World with his family and has a decent camera but has never really used it? Some simple tips to kind of just to help them along the way?
Sure. I can give a few tips. Pretty much everyone at this point in time has some device that takes photos. And I think even no matter what you're working with, even if it's an iPhone or an Android phone, you can still take good photos. And so there's a few basic things that I would say. The first is understand good composition. No matter what you're using to take a photo, this is something that's really, really important. And you could have the best camera gear in the world and screw this up, and your photo won't really be worth anything. Conversely, you could have a really, really basic, you know, just a camera phone and take really good photos if you understand what makes a well-composed photo. And there are some really basic rules to that. I would encourage people to Google rule of thirds or golden ratio. Those are two things where you can get a more in-depth, if you Google those, you can get a really in-depth description of what those two things mean and what they mean for photography. But just real quickly, if you imagine your camera frame, if there's a tic-tac-toe board that is drawn across your camera frame, you want to put the primary subject of your photo or subjects at the intersection points of the tic-tac-toe lines. You don't want your subject in the center of the photo, in the center of the frame, which is what most people's natural instinct is to do when they're taking a photo, is I'm going to put the subject dead center in the photo. You want to have them off to the side, where one of those intersection points of the tic-tac-toe lines would be. And I should add, this is a general rule. There are sometimes exceptions to the rules, but it's better to understand the rules so that you understand when to break them than it is to just say, you know, I'm not going to worry about the rules. Another really basic important thing is understanding the quality of light at different times of day. And so the most desirable light for photography, really no matter what your photo subject is, occurs near sunrise and sunset. And so during sunrise you have, or during sunset you have what's known as golden hour, so named because it generally creates a golden quality of light. The light is evenly diffused across everything that you might be taking photos of. You don't really have harsh light contrasting with harsh shadow like you do during the afternoon a lot of times. And so that's a really great time, whether it's taking photos of your family or the architecture or landscape or whatever, that's going to be some of the most desirable light for photos. Either right before or right after golden hour, before if it's sunrise or after if it's sunset, is blue hour, which is another good time for photos. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that as much for photos of people, but for photos of architecture and landscape, that's another great time to take photos. Another thing I would recommend is be aware of everything that is in your frame. And I mean that in the sense, two takeaways I mean from that is be aware of what's in the background. You know, a lot of times people will focus on, this is my photo subject, but I'm not necessarily as concerned with what is in the background or what is in the foreground. And so a lot of times you can, if you've got a good photo of your subject, you can enhance that, make it an even better photo by having a pleasing background or adding some foreground interest. That all depends on the circumstances of the photo and, you know, what you're trying to capture. But be aware of the multiple layers in the photo in front of and behind your subject. And then finally, I would say, make sure that you are filling the frame of your photo. You don't want your subject to be a really tiny part of the photo. You don't want your photo to have a lot of dead space usually. Again, these are all general rules and there are exceptions, but generally you want to use the entirety of the frame. You want to have a lot of interesting things in the, not even necessarily a lot of interesting things, but you don't want there to be a lot of dead space in the photo. You want the photo to be filled with something that is going to be interesting to the viewer.
Mm. I've noticed too, you have a lot of good pictures of on ride scenes. And I know a lot of people, you know, they use their flashes on the rides and those kind of things. Ooh. Which are annoying. But how do you capture? I'm looking at your website now, and I noticed you have like a picture from Alice in Wonderland, which is my favorite attraction out in Disneyland. How do you get that? Is that you just snap it as quick as you can on the ride, and then a lot of work in editing, or is there a trick or two for on-ride photos?
Yeah, so on-ride photos can be extremely challenging. So anytime you combine fast movement with low light, whether that's on a ride, if it's Haunted Mansion or Alice in Wonderland or Pirates of the Caribbean or any dark ride, or even in a performance context, that could be something like the Main Street Electrical Parade or Boo to You Parade at Halloween time. That's really, really challenging because you need to have a faster shutter speed so that you don't have motion blur, but the faster your shutter moves, less light gets to come in the camera, and in a darkened situation already, that's very difficult. And so I and other photographers generally like to tell people that, you know, equipment doesn't matter that much. What really matters is the photographer and understanding how to use your camera. And while it's still true that that's the most important thing, there are situations where it definitely helps a lot to have capable equipment, and dark rides are one of those situations. So I am a very strong evangelist, I guess you could say, for not using flash. I think it's, like,
yes,
you said, it's annoying.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
yes. Not, it's annoying, it's rude, it destroys the designed lighting effects, and on top of all of it, your photo is going to look horrible because those show scenes are not designed to be seen in flash. Mm. And it serves you right because you shouldn't be using flash on those attractions anyway. So don't use flash. You will not get good dark ride shots using flash. Right. So what I do, again, it definitely helps to have equipment for this. But the general principle goes back to something called the exposure triangle, which I would recommend Googling that if you are interested in understanding what that is. There's also an excellent book called Understanding Exposure by Brian Peterson that I would recommend, that can give a very in-depth explanation of this. But the exposure that a camera creates is determined by three different things working together, and that is, or at least I should say, a digital camera has three different things working together. Regardless of the technology, there's three different things working together, but it's different in a digital context as opposed to a film context. In a digital context, it is shutter speed, aperture, and ISO. And so shutter speed is pretty self-explanatory. It's how fast the shutter clicks. If it's faster, there won't be motion blur in an action setting, but you will also be taking less light in. Aperture is how open or narrow the hole that lets light into the camera is. So if it's wide open, you are going to be letting more light in, but you're also going to have a narrower depth of field. Whereas if it's narrower, you're going to be letting a lot less light in, but you'll have a greater depth of field. And then finally, the ISO essentially determines the sensitivity level of the camera sensor. And so the secret, if you want to call it a secret, to dark ride photos is, since you can't really decrease the shutter speed past a certain point, you need it fast enough to prevent motion blur, then you have to open up the aperture as wide as possible, and you have to go, in many cases, to the highest ISO possible to make your camera sensor as sensitive as possible. And if you do that and you have the right equipment for it, then you can get some really great dark ride photos. But it is challenging, and unfortunately not everyone has the equipment to do that. If you've got an iPhone, or if you don't have any lenses that are faster that will enable you to use a really wide aperture, then it's going to be really difficult. You're probably not going to come away with any great dark ride shots.
So tell Grandma just to keep her phone in her purse during the ride, and she can go to the website and find better photos there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say, is if you don't have the equipment for it, you don't have the know-how for it, then, you know, go on Flickr and find Creative Commons photos. All of my photos are Creative Commons, and download them and enjoy those photos.
Enjoy the experience of the ride, and then enjoy the photos later.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't ruin the experience for other people.
I think the worst I ever saw, I was on Soarin' one time, and the screen kept going to white, just like spurting white. And I was like, what is going on? And I realized someone was trying to take pictures with a flash of the screen while we were on Soarin'. And I was like, all you're going to get is white screen the whole time you're doing this. What are you doing? But anywho.
I do have a question about iPhones, though, because more and more I do use an iPhone. Do you know of any editing apps or anything that you'd recommend I download?
Sure. So I use Photoshop Express, which is a free app. It's pretty simple, easy to use. That's what I use. As someone who uses Lightroom and Photoshop normally for their photography, the interface is pretty simple and intuitive and easy to use. I know a lot of other photographers who I'm friends with, who I respect, that use Snapseed on their phones, and so that's another one that might be good, although I haven't used that as much myself.
Mm. What are your thoughts on the PhotoPass photographers at the parks? Like, are there any tips you've been dying to give them?
Oh, geez, you're trying to get me in trouble here.
I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want.
No, that's fine. So I am friends with a number of people who are or have been PhotoPass photographers at the parks, and so I know firsthand from the PhotoPass photographers that they are given essentially zero training on photography, other than these are your basic settings and this is how you press the shutter button.
At least they're given a nice camera.
They are given Nikon DSLRs. Given the level of training that they receive, I think a lot of them produce pretty great photos most of the time. As far as tips I would give them, I don't know. I mean, they're doing a very different style of photography than I am attempting to do. I don't really do family photography in the parks. And
I guess their main goal is to center the people in the picture, so it's a little bit different for what you're going for.
Yeah, that's true. And they're also shooting in very different situations. You know, I have the luxury of you know, I can wait for ideal light for the photos that I want to take. If I watch, if I go to the parks to shoot something and the weather is terrible or the lighting is bad, I can just come back another time. PhotoPass is taking photos, you know, regardless of the weather, regardless of the lighting. And so, you know, that's a reason why sometimes their photos may not turn out ideal. But I think again, given their goal and given the amount of training they receive, I think PhotoPass generally does a fairly good job.
Oh yeah, I poke fun, but I've gotten some genuinely great photographs through them, so I'm not complaining here. I guess I've just always been curious about the training, and you kind of answered that a little bit. So anyway, while we have you here, is it okay if we play a little game?
Sure.
Okay, there's nothing to be nervous about. It's not that hard. but we're calling it the rule of thirds, which you kind of talked about earlier.
Okay.
Here's how it works. So we're going to give three, we kind of want to see how you feel about the parks themselves. And so we're going to give three different parts of the parks, and you're going to have to pick one. Here, I'll put photography terms with it. You're going to have to pick one to frame, one to touch up, and one to delete. So, I mean, I think that's okay. Pretty self-explanatory, but just in case someone's confused, the frame is the one that you think is perfect. We're going to keep it. The one that's touch, you're going to touch up, maybe it needs a refurbishment or it needs a little bit of love, and then you have to choose one to just get rid of completely or delete. So, and we're going to play two. So I've come up with a few, and Jeremy's come up with a few, and Matt, when he comes on, has come up with a few as well. So I'll start, and I want to hear you guys' answers. Okay, so this category is opening day attractions. And you got to frame one, touch one up, and delete one. Jungle Cruise, Country Bear Jamboree, and Haunted Mansion. Jeremy, why don't you go first?
Oh, it's like asking me to sacrifice one of my children. I'm going to frame Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
I'm going to touch up Jungle Cruise, and I'm going to delete Country Bear Jamboree.
Really?
Even though it kills me. Yes.
Even though Haunted Mansion and Jungle Cruise are in Disneyland as well.
Yeah, wow. But those two are just too iconic to totally delete.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Mark?
Oh, geez. You picked... I was hoping you would throw in like a really bad one. But
oh, I can't make it easy.
All three of those I love. That's really, really tough. Oh, man. I think I would have to go with... frame Haunted Mansion. That is probably my favorite attraction at Walt Disney World. And then I want to say touch up for both, but if I
do you want me to explain the rules of the game again, Mark?
No, I understand. I hate having to say that I would delete one of these, but I think for the reasons you stated, namely that we have the last English Country Bear Jamboree here in Walt Disney World, I think I would go with touch up the Country Bear Jamboree. My idea of touching it up would be restoring it back to the original Mark Davis show with the maybe a little less than politically correct segments that were taken out a couple years ago.
How do you feel about Vacation Hoedown?
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Vacation Hoedown myself. I prefer the classic show.
I see. All right.
But yeah, and then by default, I guess I would delete Jungle Cruise, even though I hate saying that. Yeah. And it kills me.
You don't want to put that out in the universe. You never know. So.
Well, we're just going to play that soundbite at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to delete Jungle Cruise.
You heard it here, folks. He hates Jungle Cruise. So send your emails. All right, my three.
Okay.
Oh, did you give yours, Derek? I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. We don't have to answer our own.
All right.
I made it too
like
hard.
A cop out, but anyways. Seven Seas Lagoon Resorts.
Okay.
Contemporary, Polynesian, Grand Floridian. Which one are you going to save? Which one are you going to touch up? Which one are you going to destroy?
Okay. I have to save Polynesian because it has Ohana. And I can't lose Ohana. And I'm going to touch up probably the Contemporary just because I love how the monorail goes through it. And like part of me says it looks really outdated, but the other part of me kind of loves that it looks a little outdated. And so that's going to be the one I touch up. And I guess that means I'm getting rid of Grand Floridian again. Sorry about you.
Wow. That's an interesting, I did not see you going that direction.
Oh, okay. Well, surprises all the time with me, Mark.
So this is an easier one for me. I would say I would save or frame, I guess, the Contemporary. I don't think the Contemporary is perfect. I think there's things that could be improved. But it's more important to me to touch up the Polynesian because I think there's a lot of things that could and should be improved about the Polynesian. Personally, I was not a huge fan of some of the recent changes to the resort. I love Trader Sam's, but I think a lot was lost from the lobby when they removed the waterfalls there. And I would love to see that or something as grand as that restored to the lobby. And then it's honestly, it's pretty easy choice for me to delete the Grand Floridian. I personally think it's a very overrated, overpriced hotel. I am a pretty big fan of Narcoossee's and Citricoast, so I would miss them as restaurants. But in terms of the resort itself, I think it is very outdated and overpriced. And I would not really miss the resort itself at all.
Okay. I did not see that coming from either of you. I'm shocked.
Well, what was going to be your answer?
I would have said save Polynesian, touch up Grand Floridian, and delete Contemporary. But
okay,
different spokes for different folks.
The more I'm around Disney World, the more I really have come to love Contemporary. I think it's partly because I've just seen a lot of really cool photos of it online in the last few years. And just reminds me how impressive of a resort it is.
And where do you go online to find really cool photos?
MarkWillardPhotography.com.
There we go.
No. Well, yeah.
Thanks for that.
Other sites as well.
Anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a category. This is kind of specific. Iconic structures that are not attractions. Okay. So these are your three choices. Well, I had resorts at one point, but I won't use that now since you already used it. Okay, so your choices are the Earful Tower over at Hollywood Studios, Gertie the Dinosaur at Hollywood Studios, and the Fountain of Nations at Epcot.
Oh, I'm going with hashtag save Gertie okay. Is my first one. And second one, I guess I'll spruce up the Fountain of Nations. I don't really know what I wanted to spruce up as. I think it's kind of fine how it is as well.
Food coloring in the water.
Ooh, yeah. That would be interesting. And you can go ahead and get rid of the Earful Tower. It doesn't really tickle my fancy.
So I would say that I would frame the Earful Tower primarily because I think that is the right and true icon of Hollywood Studios.
I will agree with you on that.
now that the hat is gone, that's not really a controversial thing to say. Although a lot of times Tower of Terror kind of functions as the icon, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
I do think it should be the Earful Tower. Although with the way the park is being reimagined, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Whether you know there might be a more thematically appropriate icon designed. There's supposedly a name change coming at some point, but anyway, I would frame that one. I would touch up Gertie. I think I really appreciate Gertie, and you know, want to make sure that she's getting all the TLC that she needs. Fountain of Nations. I don't dislike it, but Future World as a whole, I think needs to be reimagined. I don't necessarily want to get rid of the Fountain of Nations, but if I had to choose among those three right now, I think by default that would be the delete.
That's fair. All right, Jeremy, what else you got?
Haunted Mansion scenes.
Oh.
First one, Madame Leota. That scene there. Second one, the ballroom scene. And then the attic scene.
Okay. I am going to frame the ballroom scene. It doesn't matter how many times I see it. It still impresses me and I love it. And I love like the little things you don't notice the first time, you know? Like the shooting, dueling photographs and paintings, things like that. I'm going to touch up Madame Leota because, again, another impressive scene. And I love how it's like that semicircle thing going around. And I don't know if I want to put this out there, but I've never really been a fan of the attic scene, especially with the new projections. It feels creepy, but not like in the way they wanted it to be creepy. Just kind of creepy. with the face projected there on the body. And so, yeah, I think I'll delete that one.
So I'm actually going to have to go with the same answers for this one.
Okay.
I would definitely frame the ballroom scene. I think that scene is pretty much perfect, perfectly conceptualized and perfectly executed. I really, really, really love that show scene. Madame Leota, I would touch up. I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with it. You know, there might be one or two ways that it could potentially be improved. And then I wouldn't, again, by default, I'll delete the attic scene. I wouldn't say that I hate the attic scene, but I think I would agree with you that I'm not a huge fan of the way the attic scene is currently executed. And I think of those three show scenes in the Haunted Mansion, it's the most disposable. Whereas, in my opinion, you can't really have a Haunted Mansion without the Madame Leota room or the ballroom.
I agree. Jeremy, was that going to be your answer too?
Yeah, I probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could get rid of Madame Leota. I could probably get rid of that scene. Only because it kind of looks cheesy to me in as far as like the musical instruments floating around the ceiling.
Okay.
Maybe that could be done better. Okay, I'll put it that way.
I'll give that to you.
Yeah. Anywho. I mean, maybe it was good. I mean, it might have been great at opening, but with as much projections and things they can do now, I think it'd be cool maybe to have the instruments swirling around you and a little more magic in that scene.
Okay. 3D shows. So you've got It's Tough to Be a Bug, PhilharMagic, and Muppet Vision 3D.
Oh, this is hard. I'm going to save the Muppets.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me, but okay.
And then I'm going to spruce up PhilharMagic. And then I'm going to delete It's Tough to Be a Bug.
Okay. Hey, Matt, welcome.
Hey.
You're in the middle of a question, okay? So 3D shows, you got to pick one to keep or frame, if you will. Pick one to touch up, and pick one to delete. And your choices, of course, are It's Tough to Be a Bug, PhilharMagic, and Muppet Vision 3D.
Okay, frame, touch up, and what was the other one?
Delete. It's gone.
Okay, between those 3D shows, I'm going to frame It's Tough to Be a Bug. Yeah, I like that one. I'm going to touch up Mickey's PhilharMagic. And we said Muppet Vision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to delete Muppet Vision 3D.
Okay.
We've had this discussion. Yeah.
Well, Mark hasn't, so I want to hear Mark's answers.
So, I would frame Muppet Vision 3D. I think it's an almost perfect show. I love that show, and I think it's incredibly historically important as the last thing that Jim Henson worked on while he was alive.
Come on, preach.
So I think that is my one fear with the Star Wars land that was just announced, is that it's going to take over the Muppets area of the studios, which in my opinion is one of the few good areas of the studios worth saving. Obviously, I'm excited for Star Wars land, but I would hate to see that just get bulldozed, because I do think it's very culturally important to preserve Muppet Vision and again the last thing that Jim has never worked on.
Did you talk to Jeremy before this episode? Is he putting these things in your head?
Well, you and him can enjoy that together at the same time with no one else.
I mean even independent of that, it's a really funny, good show. I like it. But I would touch up PhilharMagic. I think that is a very enjoyable, underappreciated show. Every time I see it, I'm pleasantly surprised again, because I forget how much I enjoy that show. And then I would delete It's Tough to Be a Bug. I don't hate it, but it doesn't really stick out to me as anything that great, and I wouldn't really miss it if it went away.
Matt, do you want to throw in a few rounds?
Yeah, I do. I have my three rounds ready to go. I don't know what things have you done already, so I'm not repeating myself with you.
We've just done all of ours, and so you just go and we'll stop you.
Okay. Then I'll give you my three, and or how many do you want me to do?
Hey, we just do two more.
Oh. Okay, I got it. Okay. I'm going to start with flat rides. And this sounds like it's a boring category, but you're going to be hard-pressed to decide
okay.
which ones you want to frame, touch up, or delete. Flat rides. Okay, first of all, Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Is that what it's called now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Prince Charming Regal Carousel, Mad Tea Party, or Astro Orbiter.
I'll go first. I'm going to keep the Mad Tea Party. I'm going to touch up Prince Charles Regal Carousel.
Charles.
Charming's Regal Carousel. And I'm going to delete Astro Orbiter because we have enough spinners.
Okay.
I gotta completely agree with that 100%. Keep Mad Tea Party. The carousel, I don't know exactly how you touch it up.
You call it Prince Charles Regal Carousel. There you go.
I kind of like the idea of giving it a Fantasia overlay like they're doing in Shanghai. I think that sounds like a really cool idea. And then, yeah, Astro Orbiter, I think it looks really cool in Tomorrowland, but as far as the attraction itself, like Jeremy said, we already have two other spinners in that park alone, so.
Yeah, so I think I would save Prince Charming Regal Carousel. I would touch up Mad Tea Party. I think that needs to, that could definitely use some TLC. And again, by default, I would delete Astro Orbiter.
Astro Orbiter.
I think of the basic spinners, it might be the most fun because the elevation adds a cool angle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is kind of redundant to have so many spinners in Magic Kingdom.
Mad Tea Party. Why? I don't understand why it's been without, you know, some nice lighting upgrades for so long. It's just got that flat. I mean, it looks like you're in like a warehouse, you know, under a hut somewhere, spinning around.
Why there's love no the roof.
Colored lights, you know. I don't know.
And that's what we tell the kids. Why go to Disney World when you can just go to the warehouse?
Go to the warehouse and get in the office chair and spin around. You know, like you used to do in the music building at the college.
There's rats that pop out of things there. Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. All right. That covers our flat rides. I had to pick between... I'm not going to tell you what I had to pick between. My other one is Bodies of Water. Entire body. Now, I'm thinking within the theme park, okay? I know that we could get into Seven Seas Lagoon and all that. Within parks.
Oh, okay.
You would like to preserve exactly the way they are, touch up, you know, do something different with, and things you'd be okay with them completely bulldozing. I guess you don't bulldoze a lake. You bulldoze into it. dirt into it. So, Bodies of Water. Rivers of America, Echo Lake, and World Showcase Lagoon.
Oh, gosh, that's hard.
Mm.
Okay, I'll go first if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to frame World Showcase Lagoon. That's the one that stood out to me as I just love being like seeing all the countries from one side of the... Is it a lagoon? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
From one side of the lagoon. I like that view, especially during Illuminations. Oh, my gosh, that's hard. I'm going to... touch up Rivers of America and maybe do something with Tom Sawyer Island or make it a little bit easier to walk around when like the parade's going on. It can get really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess that means I would delete Echo Lake. Part of me says if you're changing Hollywood Studios that much already, you might as well just start from scratch and get rid of it.
Yep. I think that is what's happening. But let's see what everybody else says.
So I would say I would have to give the same answer. I think I would frame World Showcase Lagoon. I love World Showcase and the Lagoon. It's one of my favorite areas in Walt Disney World. So that would definitely be my frame. And then touch up would be Rivers of America. I think Rivers of America is essential to Magic Kingdom and Frontierland. I think it could definitely be improved. I would love, not that I have faith that this will happen in the foreseeable future, but I would love to see them bring back all the attractions that used to be on Rivers of America, like the canoes that Disneyland still has, the Mike Fink keelboat, bring back the second steamboat. I would love to see a lot more activity on the Rivers of America. And then, again, by default, I would delete Echo Lake. I really like Echo Lake. I think it would be very unfortunate to get rid of Studios' only body of water in what is otherwise a concrete jungle. Mm-hmm. They need the water there, but I think as much as I love the Echo Lake area, I don't think that Echo Lake itself is as essential to that area as Rivers of America is to Frontierland or the Lagoon is to World Showcase. So I think by default that would be the one that I would get rid of.
Now, does that mean we're getting rid of Gertie too, Matt?
Oh, Jeremy. I would say yes. I mean, I don't know. We could go to endless speculation about putting her in some sort of museum somewhere, or as part of something else inside the studio.
Just plop her in front of the Chinese theater.
Let's just assume for Jeremy's sake, because he's about to go, let's assume this means Gertie is gone.
Okay.
Oh. Well, that's my new Hollywood Studios park icon is Gertie. But no, in reality, my answers are the same as what have already been said. But as I sit here and ponder, can you imagine what the World Showcase would be like without the Lagoon?
We're right.
I mean, it'd be really easier to get across.
It's true. It'd be like. Do you ever play Fruit Basket? Like where you sit in a circle and everybody runs to another chair. It'd be like that when you want to go from country to country.
Fruit Basket. What kind of show is this?
A Disney theme park show.
Anyway, continue.
That's it. That's Jeremy's thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
My other one was Quiet Places. I was pretty proud of my Quiet Places at Walt Disney
World. Well, why don't you give the three and then just give us your answer?
Oh, okay. Well, that's hard. Quiet Places, the Frontierland Boardwalk, you know, the little pier that kind of wraps out around Rivers of America. The walkway to Tomorrowland from the Storybook Circus area. Hmm. That little back, and that Morocco Museum. What's that called?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
The place no one goes.
Yeah, the little room. And I guess I would frame the Frontierland Boardwalk. That's one of my favorite places in all of Magic Kingdom. I would touch up the walkway to Tomorrowland because it does kind of feel like you're in an area you're not supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to pick a place in all the Magic Kingdom where I could get mugged, I would put there.
That's it. Well, the smoker section's back. Nothing against smokers. The smoker section is back there. The little dog pooping area is back there. It's kind of like the dump of the Magic Kingdom. And then,
no pun intended.
Waka. And then the Morocco Museum I would delete, even though I like it. And it's a quaint little, like, you know, like, hey, look in here.
Yeah.
Other than that, it doesn't offer too much charm to me.
All right.
Yep.
Mark, before we let you go, why don't you tell us where our listeners can find you online? I know markwillardphotography.com. Is there anywhere else you want to plug?
Sure. So markwillardphotography.com is my professional portfolio. It has what is, in my opinion, all my best work. People can find prints there. It also has along the top links to most of my social media accounts. So I am at Mark Willard Photography on Instagram. I'm Mark Willard Photography on Flickr and Facebook. I am Mark Willard 85 or M Willard Photos on Twitter. If you just want the photos, then M Willard Photos. If you want to read me rant and complain about things, then Mark Willard 85.
Mark Willard 85 it is.
Yeah. And those are the most relevant social media accounts. There are a few others that are linked on markwillardphotography.com. So if you want to follow me on everything, you can find it all there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed talking to you. Absolutely. Enjoy talking with you as well.
We'll see you at the parks.
All right, sounds good.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. You can find us online on Twitter and Facebook, and you can send any feedback you have, as always, to comments@madchatters.net. If you could go leave a review for us on iTunes, we always appreciate seeing those. And that does it for another episode. See you next time.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Adios. If you're going to do on-ride photos, Disney, they need to be in places where people are actually reacting to something. You know, your Space Mountain, like right at the bottom of that little hill, does not work. Tower of Terror, before you drop, they take your picture. You need to actually catch people in the action of screaming or having a good time, not before that actually takes place.
That's true.
Space Mountain, it's like...
I feel like... I know, Space Mountain's so weird. I feel like Screaming, California Screaming was kind of like that. I remember, it's like at the very end, you're like, oh.
Well, you think on Tower of Terror that they would take it. What?
I was going to say, I remember on California Screaming, I was like posing the whole time, and I was like, when are they going to take our picture? And then I finally stopped, and it was like, flash.
Well, I guess they can, well, I mean, they can take it while you're moving.
Well, Test Track, they do it right when you've been inside the whole time, and then it's like the blasted sun in your face.
Squinting. So Tower of Terror is before you even drop.
Yeah,
it's like I guess they very well can't get you while you're dropping. Well, they could if the camera was on board, which it's not. But all the pictures for Tower of Terror are terrible because it's right before the drop, and everybody either looks bored or like they're just waiting. But there's not like action shots of people screaming or anything. It's just like,
or like their hair all the way up towards the ceiling.
That doesn't make us at the Disney World waiting room. Yes, waiting on the doctor. Pause. I just remembered something to add in with the previous segment. Ready?
I mean, I guess. I'll see if it works or not.
Do you remember that time we were at Epcot and we asked that guy to take a picture for us? And we said, just kind of get us with Spaceship Earth.
He kept
stepping backwards and backwards and backwards. And we finally got the picture, and it's a beautiful shot of Spaceship Earth.
Well, that's at the very
And then,
bottom.
Like, us about 3 centimeters tall in front of it.
He was about to take off that camera, though. I'm out.